Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is season 6 episode 12 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we continue with our study of this week's Come Follow Me materials, studying in the week of May the 20th to May the 26th, studying in Mosiah 18 to 24. Today we're going to look at Mosiah chapter 23 in particular, and look how, again, how the Lord relieves the burdens of those who have faith in him, but also how those who have faith in him can trust in him. I find this quite an interesting point of the narrative. So we go back to the accounts of the people of Alma, who had been driven into the wilderness by the people of King Noah. And in verse 1 it says, "And Alma, having been warned of the Lord that the armies of King Noah would come upon them, and having made it known to his people, therefore they gathered together their flocks and took of their grains and departed into the wilderness." So here, straight away in this chapter, we have an example of how the Lord can deliver us because of our faith in him. There are times in our lives where we can avoid certain challenges, difficulties, tribulations by having faith. Having the Spirit in our lives, we can avoid certain things. That is definitely true. And it shows, for example, how King Noah and his people were not prepared for this attack by the Lamanites, and they were overrun because they were not connected with heaven. They were not able to receive that warning. As we'll see later in this chapter, though, not every trial, tribulation, difficulty, challenge can be avoided, even with faith in God, because life is meant to be challenging, difficult, and full of tribulation. That is mortality. That is part of the reason why we are here. So that's not to say that if we are to have faith and trust in the Lord, that we will never have to go through a bad thing, and we will always be warned of a difficult thing which we can avoid. But we can be warned of certain things, as Alma and his people were here. They flee into the wilderness for 8 days, pitch their tents and begin to build a little kingdom of their own. The people want Alma to be a king. Elder Joseph B. Worthlin said, quote, "Alma wisely did not deny his people's offer of kingship and taught them to treasure their liberty and freedom, especially their freedom from bonds of iniquity into which King Noah and his wicked priests had led them. Even so, he said, I desire that you should stand fast in this liberty." Alma's caution to his people applies to all of us today. We must be ever vigilant to ensure that our government leaders serve us well in protecting our liberty and freedom, including our freedom from the bonds of iniquity. Close quote. The power and influence that one individual can have if they are not kept in check is very dangerous. And so it is what Alma is teaching here about making sure they are able to be free from the bonds of iniquity in this sense. We continue on, and Alma points out the fact that if they could have a just person to be their king, then of course it would be fine, but they cannot guarantee that. Even if Alma himself were to be righteous, which is quite interesting, he says that they can't ensure that he himself was caught in a snare with King Noah, which I think is quite vulnerable of Alma to share that as a reason why he is not worthy to be called their king, and why they shouldn't trust him to be their king. I think it's quite open and quite honest and wonderful of Alma to say that. Anthony D. Perkins said, quote, "If you imagine that your prior sins, character flaws, and your poor decisions prevent you from receiving all of God's blessings, consider the experience of Alma the Elder. Referring to his younger years as an immoral priest for King Noah, Alma himself admitted, I was myself caught in a snare and did many things which were abominable in the sight of the Lord, which caused me sore repentance. Yet Alma's repentance was so complete and Christ's atonement so infinite that Alma became a prophet and was promised eternal life." Close quote. We can move forward from our past choices and sins through repentance. And Alma is pleased with that, but he says that he is not able to be a king. What I find quite interesting is that, and also in verse 11, more specifically, he says, "In this I do not glory, for I am unworthy to glory of myself." He points to whoever straight away is the source of this blessing that he's been able to receive. It is also interesting that Alma warns against this kingship, because, of course, kingship normally goes down your descendants. And as we know, Alma's descendants, I mean, Alma does not know this at this point, but Alma's descendant, as we find out later, is quite a wicked individual, at least for the beginning part of his life. And if you imagine he had become a king earlier on, or perhaps this allure and this view of kingship may have even made him further from the truth, and from changing into what Alma the Younger would become, a great prophet and high priest. Then perhaps that may have changed the whole story of the Book of Mormon. So this choice is actually quite a significant one from Alma in rejecting a kingship. We then continue on from in verse 15 to continue the story, that Alma teaches them to love one another, and he gives authority to others to preach and teach. And all those that were consecrated in the correct way. They talk a lot about priesthood authority and how that is vital for the Lord's church. To continue on, the reason for this is quite interesting, because, of course, as we know, this people split from the house of Israel as a branch, but they still had the authority from God through Lehi. And it's quite clear here that Mosiah, or the Book of Mosiah, taught so much about this. And Mormon, in abridging this record, is probably trying to highlight that it's how important the priesthood authority lineage is, to so that the reader knows that this did continue with this people. So they were able to conduct and to administer ordinances of the priesthood, such as baptism. So I think that's interesting that this is spoken about quite a bit. And then we continue on. They set up their land. But then as it says in verse 21 and 22, "Nevertheless, the Lord seeth fit to chasten his people, yea, he trieth their patience and their faith. Nevertheless, whosoever putteth his trust in him, the same shall be lifted up at the last day. Yea, and thus it was with this people." It's interesting that it's kind of set out like this, because Mormon is clearly trying to set out here how this, I'm going to warn you now, this really bad thing happens to this people despite their despite their faith and trust. But because they trust in him, they are delivered, and he's going to demonstrate that now. I think that's fascinating. There's a quote here by Sister Linda S. Reeves, who said, quote, "Almost 3 years ago, a devastating fire gutted the interior of the beloved historic tabernacle. Its loss was deemed a great tragedy by both the community and church members. Many wondered, why did the Lord let this happen? Surely he could have prevented the fire or stopped its destruction. 10 months later, during the October 2011 General Conference, there was an audible gasp when President Thomas S. Monson announced that the nearly destroyed tabernacle was to become a holy temple, a house of the Lord. Suddenly, we could see what the Lord had always known. He didn't cause the fire, but he allowed the fire to strip away the interior. He saw the tabernacle as a magnificent temple, a permanent home for making sacred eternal covenants." My dear sisters, she was speaking to the sisters at the time, "The Lord allows us to be tried and tested, sometimes to our maximum capacity. We have seen the lives of loved ones, maybe our own, figuratively burned to the ground, and I've wondered why a loving, caring Heavenly Father would allow such things to happen. But he does not leave us in ashes. He stands with open arms, eagerly inviting us to come unto him. He is building our lives into magnificent temples where his Spirit can dwell eternally." Close quote. It's a powerful metaphor and an example of how the Lord does allow difficulties and trials to happen to us. But if we trust in him, he will guide us and lead us through and help us become better than we were before. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll continue and conclude this experience of Alma tomorrow. And until we meet again.